It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, May 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. A recent report looks at the economic impact last year of river rafting outfitters. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
David Koslow is the executive director for the Colorado River Outfitters Association, and he says the numbers are encouraging.
They look good. They look good. They were fairly equivalent to the year before. There were some sections that were down a little bit, like Animas River in Durango was down, but that was more related to the gold mine spill than other reasons.
Commercial rafting had an economic impact of over $160 million last year. That's money not only spent on rafting, but the hotel tourists stay at or gas stations near the dock. Last year's figures are a welcome stabilization after the industry took a hit in the dry summer of 2012.
Oh, it's very welcome. It's kind of like being a farmer and you can't plant crops for a year and it might take you a couple of years to catch up afterwards.
While both rafters and farmers are in the water business, rafters also depend on people wanting to recreate.
We're disposable income, so we're not like bread and milk where, you know, people are going to buy it no matter what. So I think the state tourism office has done a very good job trying to get people to the state, and we try to do a good job of, if they're here, showing them a good time.
The economic impact of last summer was the best on record for Colorado, and he says that the forecast for this year is just as good. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A body found in a canyon outside of Paradox has been identified as a Utah woman who went missing earlier this month. The Montrose County coroner identified 50-year-old Kimberly Ann Anderson Burchell of Moab, Utah, through fingerprints. She was reported missing on May 5th. Officials say she was last seen on May 4th camping in the Lion Creek area south of Buckeye Reservoir in the west end of the county. Anderson Burchell was shed antler hunting in the area. Her body was found last Tuesday in a wash. Montrose County Sheriff Rick Dunlap says bad weather and the area's rough terrain and remoteness complicated search efforts.
It's a very large area, as you can well imagine. It's heavy timber and undergrowth, a lot of washes that come down from the mountain all the way through that area, and a lot of different roadways. It was very difficult for the searchers to get in easily and conduct their search and then get back out.
Officials say no foul play is suspected in the case, and the cause and manner of death are pending autopsy results. The poorest among us pay more than they can afford for their power bills. Economists call it an affordability gap. In 2015, low-income Coloradans as a whole were charged $270 million above what is considered sustainable. That's according to a long-term study looking at power bills and income data. That means energy bills force hard decisions in other areas. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce says the most desperate time can be the spring, when power bills from the winter start piling up.
Take someone like Leanne Shelberg. A broken back and a recurring battle with skin cancer ended her career as an interior designer. She's unable to work. When I was first trying to set up an interview with her, she was in trouble.
This is going to be fun. We're going to literally be sitting in the dark.
She had some stacked up power bills from the previous 2 months, owing close to $500.
It's never that high.
Her budget is fixed and razor thin. You can look around her modular home and see all the little things she and her daughter do to save electricity. She keeps most of her lights off and her appliances unplugged.
Then I keep the microwave on because that's my clock.
It wasn't enough. She used more power than she planned for, and she couldn't pay the bill. Roger Colton is an economist in Massachusetts. He's been studying situations like Leanne's for decades.
Probably 30-some years now.
He brings up the figure 6%. It's often held up as a baseline for the sustainable amount of income to be spending on utilities. Any spending over that, he calls the affordability gap. He projects that gap nationwide was $40 billion last year alone.
That dollar amount, basically, that low-income households cannot afford to pay.
Cannot afford to pay, but still need to find a way to do so.
Within a radius of a quarter mile here, there are hundreds of low-income households.
I'm looking out Skip Arnold's second-floor office window in Denver. He's the executive director at nonprofit Energy Outreach Colorado.
Seniors, working families, disabled people.
Organizations like his spend millions at the state level to help the poor pay energy bills. Utilities also often have their own programs for assistance. And then the federal government gives by far the most. In 2015, the Fed spent close to $3.5 billion nationwide, most of that going to home heating costs. But again, if the annual affordability gap is closer to $40 billion,
it would be impractical or impossible to raise enough money.
The nonpartisan Congressional Research Service predicts only about a fifth of the people who qualify for the federal assistance receive it. So Arnold says those at the bottom continue to spend between 25 or 30% of their income or more just to pay utilities.
The chunk of 30% of their total income leaves precious little for anything else.
Sacrifices come from elsewhere.
They skip meals.
Maybe skip going to the doctor or stop taking medications.
I had to pick two bills that I wasn't going to pay that month.
Leanne Shellberg was desperate, still looking at that nearly $500 bill. Energy Outreach Colorado only provides assistance once a year, and she went to them last summer. In mid-March, she went to her utilities office, her service about to be shut off. She sat down with an employee.
Her name is Kimberly. She was an amazing woman.
Shellberg says Kimberly gave her $100 out of her own pocket to reopen her account.
And I sat there and cried because she knew I didn't have all the money.
The utility has switched her to a new program where she prepays for electricity as she tries to slowly take care of those old bills. It's working for now, but it's a hard reality she's faced with every day. Utility bills aren't the ones you skip.
You can't live without them.
That is, if you care about living with a roof over your head. A study from the University of Colorado finds for households with children in the state, not being able to pay utility bills is the second leading cause of homelessness, right behind domestic violence. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
Colorado has a new lieutenant governor. Donna Lynn replaces Joe Garcia, who is leaving to take a job at a higher education nonprofit. Benta Berkland has more.
Lynn was an executive at the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan before being picked by Governor Hickenlooper. In addition to her duties as lieutenant governor, Lynn will also serve in a new position as chief operating officer.
I think through listening and through collaboration, we'll accomplish a lot in the next 971 days, and I'm just so honored that you've all supported me on this journey.
The lieutenant governor also maintains the relationship between Colorado and the Southern Ute and Ute Mountain Ute tribes. Lynn has said she does not intend to stay in politics after the governor's term is up. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.